Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is a very, very exciting day in our church. We turn 10 years old this weekend, and we're celebrating that. Yeah. But we were very adamant when we began planning this event that it would not be a celebration of us. We are just simply messengers. We are just simply servants of a very good king. And we were convinced and we were committed that this celebration will be a celebration of him, not us. And it will be a celebration of God and who God is and what he's done in our lives. And we also were convinced that we wanted this to be a celebration that we could invite people to. We wanted the community to come and be a part of this. Again, not because of us, but because we wanted to share with the community what we found. And we wanted to extend to the community an opportunity for them to discover the very same thing. And that's why we've shared so many stories today. And I hope you notice that there is a recurring theme in every one of those stories. Life gets better because of Jesus. They didn't say life gets better because of a new relationship. They didn't say life gets better because of a new job. They didn't say life gets better because they felt better. They didn't say life gets better because they were healed. They said life is better because of Jesus. And at Wellspring, we know this to be true. And it is the heartbeat of everything we do. And so as we planned this celebration, as we planned this party, we thought better because was just an amazing theme because it's a universal pursuit. Every single one of us in this room is pursuing better in some way. We want a better job. We want our marriages to get better. We want our kids to get better. We want our parents to get better. Everybody wants better. Maybe we want to feel better. And what I know about this universal pursuit of better is that in pursuit of it, we all finish a sentence a certain way. And it's this sentence. We all believe it will get better because blank. And see, at Wellspring, we believe how we fill this blank is the most important decision we will ever make in our entire lives. Because each and every one of us, whether we actually say it out loud or not, we are pursuing better and we have a blank there. It will get better when I get married. It will get better when we have a child. It will get better when we get the new house. It will get better when I get a new career. It will get better when this happens. It will get better when I break this bad habit. It will get better when. And here's what I know is universal to all of us. We've pursued those things, and it got better for a moment. And then we got used to the better. And the better became normal. And we decided we wanted better than better. And so what was the new thing becomes the normal thing. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but we all can end up leaving ourselves asking, okay, did I pursue it wrong? Am I doing something wrong? Or is this really just as good as it gets? Is this it? Is better even possible? And that's why we've thrown the celebration. That's why we're so thrilled that you are here, because as a church, we have a couple of things that we want to declare today. And number one, we want to declare that, yes, better is possible. And when the better we're talking about is the better that you heard on those videos, it's the better that it's better despite your circumstances. It's a better that comes from inside, not a better that comes from outside. It's a better that weathers through the storm, not a better that just says, please make this storm end. It's a better where our lives begin to be characterized. We begin to experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and, dare I say it, even self-control. This is the better that we know is possible here at Wellspring Church. And I know for some of you, maybe you're new to church, or maybe you're new to God, and that just sounds like something, like I don't even understand that. So let me go you one further. Not only is this better possible, we believe that this better is promised. We believe it's been guaranteed to us by a man named Jesus. Now, you've probably heard of Jesus. You probably know bits and pieces of his story. But did you know that the entire reason Jesus came to earth was to declare better is possible? It was to declare better is promised. See, when Jesus came to earth, at the age of 30, he started a three-year ministry where he traveled around his hometown and his home region, and he preached a message. And the message was essentially this: hey, guys, you have a problem. And it's a big problem, and I'm here to solve it. And the problem we had is this three-letter word called sin. And I know you were like, we were having a party. Do we have to talk about sin? But for just a minute. For those of you who don't know, sin is anything we do that God would not want us to do in our lives. It's anything we would do that doesn't line up with his best for us. And the reason he doesn't want us to sin is really two different things in one. There are two humongous problems that come with sin. Number one, sin sabotages. Sin sabotages our life. That's the only reason God doesn't want us to do it. The reason God tells us things are sins are because they're dangerous. He tells us things are sins, parents, the way you teach your children not to put their hand on a hot stove. You don't do that because you don't like them. You do that because you love them and you don't want them to hurt themselves. That is God's entire approach to humanity when it comes to sin. He just tells us, hey, don't do these things because they might hurt you. Now, the reason sin exists is because there was this fallen angel a long time ago. His name is Satan. He's the devil. I know you're like, sin and the devil? Seriously? Yeah, but here's what the devil basically did. The devil got mad at God, and he doesn't like God, and so he decided to take it out on us. And so the devil is the one who's constantly trying to trick us into sinning. He's trying to convince us to sin. He's trying to tell us it's not going to be that dangerous. It's not going to be that harmful. Just try it. Don't worry. And then when we do it and we experience guilt, shame, pain, and regret, he laughs at us. Now, I know for some of you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in the devil, you don't believe in any of that, but here's what I know you've experienced. I know you have some guilt, some shame, some regret from past actions. I know when you look back on them now, not only do you regret them, you're confused by them. You have no idea who that person was. You don't know why you made that choice. That's not you. You've never made that choice before. It doesn't make any sense. Let me unpack it for you. You were tricked. You were tricked by an enemy into sabotaging your life. And so Jesus comes to declare, hey, I can lead you out of that. I can lead you out of that sabotaging effect of sin. I can lead you into a better life. But remember I said sin had two problems. It caused two major issues, and the second is actually worse than the first. Not only does sin sabotage, sin separates. Sin separates us from our Heavenly Father. See, God created us to know us. He created us to have a relationship with us. And here's what Satan knew. If Satan could convince us to sin, he could separate us from God's love. Because God can't even be around sin. God has to remove himself from it. And so because we sin, and by the way, we all sin. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Everyone up here singing on the stage is a sinner. Everyone playing in the band is a sinner. Every person you saw on those videos is a sinner. We are all sinners. We all mess up. So this isn't about judgment. This is about reality. And that sin sabotages our life, and that sin separates us from our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus shows up, and he's like, hey, guys, I can solve these problems. I can fix these problems. And for 3 years, he taught his followers and through his followers us how to follow him, how to live a life in line with him, and how to avoid the sabotaging effects of sin. And then at the end of his life, maybe you know the story, he took away the separating power of sin by giving his life for ours. It was a Thursday night. One of his best friends betrayed him to the Jewish authorities. They turned him over to the Roman government. The Roman government sentenced him to death. He was beaten, and then he was nailed to a cross. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, he died. And his followers took him and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. On Friday, he was dead. On Saturday, he was dead. On Sunday, we as Christians believe he came back to life. Not his ideas, not his teachings. He physically rose from the dead and walked out of the grave. And here's why that matters. Because those two acts solved our two sin problems. Because when Jesus was on the cross, when he died, when he gave his life for ours, he solved the separation that sin causes. Because the reason sin separates is because God only has one reaction to sin, and that is to destroy it. Which meant, as sinners, he had to destroy us. But he loved us so much, he sent his only son. And rather than punishing me and punishing you and punishing all of us for the mistakes that we have committed, that we will commit, instead of punishing us, he punished his perfect son in our place. That's why the last words Jesus said on the cross was, "It is finished." What was finished was not his life, because he came back to life. What was finished was our death. What was finished was our separation. Jesus paid the price because God punished him in our place. So the separation of sin, gone through faith in Jesus. And then when he came back to life, he was announcing to us and to the world, not only have I solved the separation problem of sin, I've solved the sabotaging problem of sin. Because you thought you had to continue to live in those bad habits. You thought you had to continue to live in that guilt and shame and pain and regret. Just like God would say, I gave my son a new life when I brought him back to life, I can give you that very same new life. I can give you a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. I can give you as many chances as you want. Just place your faith in me. Doesn't that sound better? And Jesus guarantees us this promise in one of his teachings recorded by his best friend, a guy named John. And here's what he tells us in John 10:10. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. The thief is Satan, and his purpose is to steal and kill and destroy your life. And you have the scars and the guilt and the shame and the pain and the regret to prove it. And then Jesus says these words, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. See, Jesus doesn't just promise, follow me and it will get better. He promises, follow me and I will make you better. Follow me and I will change you from the inside out. Follow me and we'll break those bad habits. Follow me and you will have a life that is bigger and better than you possibly imagined. This is what Jesus offers, and this is what we know here at Wellspring Church. And so I'll take you back to the statement, it will get better because. What are you filling the blank with? And why not try Jesus? Why not try the person who was so loving he gave his life for you, who was so powerful that he could come back to life, and oh, by the way, knows the future and want to walk with you every single step of the way. Walk with a person who doesn't promise there will be no storms, who doesn't promise there will be no pain, who doesn't promise there will be no heartache. He promises there will be purpose in it, there will be power behind you, and I will walk with you every step of the way. Doesn't that sound better than what we've all been pursuing? We believe so at Wellspring Church. And for 10 years, that message has driven everything we've done. And we believe for the next 10, 20, 50, 100, whatever God has in store, it will continue to propel us. And so our prayer today, for those of you who might call yourself guests, who might be new to God or new to Jesus, that you will hear us declare as we celebrate, that you will hear us declare these words, better is possible. It is possible for you. Better than that, better is promised. It is a guarantee. Now, don't miss this last point, because this last point changes everything, because we always pursue better, we want better, we think better, and we know better is possible. We know better is promised. But the key to changing our lives, the key to experiencing this better, the key to the life change that comes from Jesus is understanding this third point. Better is a person. Better is a person, and his name is Jesus. Another way we say that here at our church is this: we are convinced that Jesus is the sole source of our soul satisfaction. And when we lean into that, and we place our faith in that, and we put our hope for better in that, when we orient our entire lives around Jesus, things get better. And as a church, our entire job is to walk with you and to teach you and to equip you and to prepare you and to train you on how we can orient our lives around Jesus in every specific area. How can we orient our relationships around Jesus? How can we orient our marriages around Jesus? How can we orient our parenting around Jesus? How can we orient the way we treat our friends and our neighbors around Jesus? How can we orient our careers out of Jesus, around Jesus? How can we orient all those things? Because when we do, guess what? They get better. That's all we do as a church. Different topics. How do you orient them around Jesus? Next week, we're starting a brand new series that I think is one of the most helpful series we've ever done in the history of our church. It's on communication, learning to speak and learning to hear clearly from each other, learning to actually communicate what we want to say, what we mean, rather than what we hear. And I'll go ahead, spoiler alert, it gets better when you orient it around Jesus. It gets better when you speak like Jesus. It gets better when you learn to hear like Jesus. And again, let me just say, For the couples in the room, would you not like it if your communication was better? Can you think of the arguments you could avoid if you had better communication? Parents, wouldn't you love to be able to communicate better with your children? Or let's be honest, communicate better with your teenagers. Teenagers, don't you wish you could communicate better with your parents? Well, guess what? It's possible. It's promised. And it comes to a person, and his name is Jesus. That's what we do here. And that's how we can promise better. Because we've experienced it, because it's not a promise based on us, it's a promise based on Jesus. And so what I'd love to do now is, I know in a room this size, there are some people who don't have a relationship with Jesus, who've never placed their faith in Jesus and have never received the gift he gave of removing the sabotaging and the separating effects of sin, and who don't have him in their life to guide them. And as a church, that's why we exist, to see people fall in love with Jesus. And so what I'd love to do is give you an opportunity right now to change your mind about Jesus and to give you an opportunity to become a Christ follower. And so what I'd love to ask you to do is just bow your heads right now. Just bow your heads and close your eyes, everybody in the room. And if you would say today that you want that hope, that you want Jesus to be the source of the hope you have for better, you want to place your faith in him, then I'm going to pray a prayer. And as I pray this prayer out loud, all you have to do is repeat this prayer in your mind, repeat this prayer in your heart. Just say these words to God, and you can become a Christian, and you can invite him in, and you can begin a relationship with him. Just pray these words with me. Say, God, I want better. I want better than the better I've been pursuing. And I believe that better comes through your son, Jesus. I admit that I have sinned, that I've done things you didn't want me to do. But I believe today that you paid the price for those mistakes. And I believe when you came back to life, it was a promise that I could too. So today, Jesus, I commit my life to you. I place my hope in you. I know you made my relationship right with God. And I know you can guide me into the future you have planned. Thank you for promising better. I want to pursue it through you. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want everybody to keep their heads bowed and their eyes closed for just a moment. If you prayed that prayer with us, we as a church believe something supernatural just happened. We believe your eternity just shifted. And that's a moment we take very seriously, and we want to celebrate with you, and we want to walk with you as your church. So we ask you to do two things for us. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you prayed that prayer with me for the very first time, we just ask you to just raise your hand as high as you can, and then just keep it up for a moment while I talk to you, and then I'll tell you when to take it down. This is just a way of publicly declaring what's happened in your heart. Ready? One, two, three. Go ahead and raise your hand. Just raise them high. Just shoot them up. Just shoot them up and keep them up. Just imagine as you're raising that hand, it's your very first time of reaching out for your Heavenly Father. It's the very first time of reaching out for hope. It's the very first time of reaching out to Him. It's you just reaching out and saying, God, I know You are who You say You are. God, I believe You. God, my heart experiences You. God, I can't wait to see what You have for the rest of my life. Amen. Okay, you can go ahead and put your hands down. And then everybody look at me for just a second. If you prayed that prayer with us, this is not the end of something. This is the beginning of something. And as your church, it is our privilege to walk with you in this new life. And so we've created a resource for you, just kind of a one-stop shop to sort of get you started. It's in the seat back in the chair in front of you. And we tried to make it incredibly simple. The card says this: I raised my hand, now what? Because we wanted it to be incredibly simple. So if you raise your hand, if you wish you'd raise your hand, if you have questions about raising your hand, just reach forward, take that resource, take it home with you. There's follow-up information. You can let us know what's going on. If you would like to speak with someone today when we dismiss, out in our lobby, we have something called the Blue Room. There'll be people in there who would love to talk with you as well. Because it is our privilege to partner with you as we all pursue Jesus, as we all pursue better, and as we all begin to understand even more the beauty of a relationship with Jesus, that not only does He promise better, not only does He deliver better, He makes us better. He sees us as better. That's the beauty of Jesus. He takes away all our mistakes, both past, present, and future. They're paid for and gone. So our Heavenly Father looks down at us, those of us who have a relationship with Him, and He sees His perfect Son and His perfect daughter, and there is freedom in that. There is life change in that. And we are so excited to celebrate it. I want to pray for you. And then when I'm done praying, we have a song that I want you to just listen to. And I want the words to just minister to your heart. If you're new to church, what that just means is make you feel good. We want the words to just warm your soul and encourage you today. Encourage you that not only is better some external thing, better is internal. Better is a gift from a God who loved us so much, He gave His Son. Better is a gift from a God so powerful He could raise the dead. Better is a promise. So why would we ever settle for anything less? Let me pray. Father, we love You. We love You, and we are so, so thankful for Your Son. We are so thankful for His goodness and so thankful that He came to rescue us. And we are so thankful that we can follow Him and that we can know Him and that we can learn about Him. And we are so thankful that we don't have to earn any of this. It is a free gift. So, Father, may we receive that gift today. May our hearts be warmed today. May our eyes be opened. May our lives be changed. May we cast aside everything we put in that blank. May we cast aside everything we're hoping and everything we're banking on to make things better. And may we firmly attach our faith to You, not only the One who makes us better, but the One who sees us better. We love You. It's in Your Son's amazing and holy name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.